changed from glory to glory into the image of Christ tonight and every night as we seek you, Father, as we seek your face, Lord. We thank you so much. We lift you up. We praise you. We magnify you. We glorify you, Lord, in our lives and our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Glory, glory. Well, good evening, everyone. Good evening. As Brother Chris mentioned, my name is Pastor Scott. I'm the associate pastor at Family Church in Fredonia. Pastor Tim reached out to me a few weeks ago and asked me if I could fill in this evening. Thrilled for what they're doing up in Jamestown tonight for that outreach event that they've got going on up there. We're believing God for souls to come into the kingdom. Amen. Whether in here, wherever we are, we know that if God's at work in the kingdom and people are getting born again, people are hearing the gospel of Jesus, that's a good night. And so we pray for them, we lift them up, that there'd be utterance and boldness and good response from those people there. But I just want to say thank you, of course, to your pastors for this opportunity. You know, I know this, I get invited to minister in different locations from time to time, and especially when it's in a family church pulpit, I count it a great honor to fill that place. You know, I've been at Family Church in Fredonia for 22 years now, and I know one of the things that I love about you know, our church, and really this is the foundation of any of the family churches, that they're a safe place for us to be. That it's a place that, you know, I know that my pastor isn't going to let someone teach me who doesn't know God, who isn't faithful to God, who hasn't proven themselves. And so for an opportunity to fill a family church pulpit, I count that a great honor. And you know this, that you're so blessed under Pastor Tim and Pastor Katie in this place. They are the real deal. I can remember as a young man looking up to them in the church in very early days that I came to know Jesus. You know, they were in there at that time, serving in the youth group in different capacities. And I just thought they were such an amazing couple. And of course, over the years, that's proved out. You know, God has shown himself mighty through their ministry, through the work that he's doing through them. And I just want to remind you how blessed you are to be under them, to be under that ministry. And some of the things that we're going to talk about tonight have to do with those things. So if you'd turn with me in your Bibles, we're going to start in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And I want to encourage you, you know, I don't know everyone here tonight. I don't know everyone in this place. It's great to see. I haven't ministered here in a long time, and I haven't been to this church, I think, since my pastor, Pastor Michael, the last time he ministered here, I came with him. But I know a lot of faces here I don't know, and that's always great to see in a place that you go, that there's folks that are coming out here in the Word of God, that churches are growing and people are being blessed in those places. As we look to the Word tonight, we're going to talk about some things that have to do with the pastor's office, with having a pastor, and not just having one, but our role in relation to having a pastor. Because it's not just, you know, just like Reverend Chris was saying during the offering earlier, it's not just coming to church, sitting in a seat and checking off the box that I went to church that week. I grew up in a religion, and I left it early. I say I grew up. I was in third grade when I left it. So I don't know if that really counts for me to say that I grew up in that church or not. But, you know, I can remember early on that I one of the things that were drilled into us was that you had to be in church or else basically you were going to hell. Basically that, you know, if you weren't in church that week, that God took note and he'd be angry at you till the following Sunday when you had another chance to prove it. Well, that puts an unhealthy relationship with church in you from a young age, because you view it as a requirement. You view it as a task that I have to accomplish, as just like Reverend Chris said, is something I have to check off that I did that week. That's not what God intended for the local church. That's not what he wanted for this place when we come together to hear the word together, to be strengthened by it, to be taught by someone anointed to preach it to us. And so as we look to this tonight, this cause is so near and dear to my heart for a lot of reasons. You know, my role as an associate pastor in Fredonia is really to help my pastor fulfill his call, to help him fulfill his purpose in life. And of course, you know, there's a whole lot that goes with that. Part of his call is to raise up these churches in the region and in the area and get us ready for the last days, for Jesus to come back, for, you know, we're spreading out this net for the gospel, we could say, so that all these folks come. And also to know this, that as Jesus comes back and as things start to happen more in the body of Christ, that people know who God is and what he's doing. You know, we call ourselves what? Word and Spirit churches, right? That we're founded on the Word, that we flow with the Holy Spirit. Because in the end days, the Holy Spirit's going to be moving. He's moving now, but even more and more as Jesus Christ, as it comes closer to the return of the Lord. And so people are going to be seeing God moving. Well, they want to go to somebody who knows what's going on. That's who we get to be. That's the role that we get to fill in those last days. And so I don't want to get off on a whole tangent here, but there's just so much on my heart about this stuff. But as we look to this tonight, you know, I always seek the Lord when I go to minister at places. There's kind of two messages that I usually go with when I go to somewhere that I don't go often or somewhere that I'm going for the first time. One of those has to do with a testimony in my life, and I think I shared that the first time that I ministered here about my son when he was born, that God raised him up from, you know, from near death, or, you know, he was born not breathing, not moving for it felt like an eternity at the time. I don't know exactly how long it was, but he was turning all sorts of colors that a baby's not supposed to be. And then the doctors told us that when he, you know, when he finally did wake up, because we released faith that he would, and he did, and that he would be disabled for most of his life. And of course, we stood in faith against that. And so that the product of God's working there is here with me tonight. You know, that God's good, and he's a healer, he's a miracle worker. Amen, amen. But the other thing I ask the Lord, if he wants me to share when I go to a place, is to talk about the office of the pastor. One of the main reasons is because when you know you're in a place where you're taught well, a lot of times that means that it's a topic that isn't touched often. Because a good pastor, a humble pastor, isn't necessarily going to talk about themselves a whole lot. Paul, you know, that great apostle that we look at, he only said a few times, he said, "I magnify my office." He didn't really tell people exactly how to relate to him as an apostle, because it can seem so self-serving. And we're so blessed, you know, I know my pastor's this way, and I know your pastors are this way. They teach us the word, but they're so careful not to do it in a way that magnifies them, that puts the spotlight on them, because that's humility. And that's what God can use to promote, and you see the fruit of that in these ministries that we're in. So when an opportunity comes that I can fill another man's or a woman's pulpit, I take that opportunity to say, "Lord, can I talk about that office? Can I help, you know, can I help shed what little light and revelation I have on it and help bring light to folks on it?" And that's the direction we're going to go in tonight. So as we look to the word, we're going to talk about the pastor's office, but the focus of it is going to be on praying for our pastors and the supply that we bring in prayer for them. So let's look at scripture first. We're going to start in Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 8. And it says this: "Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended, what is it also but that he descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness in Christ." So, you know, we read through these verses, and especially at the beginning, it's a whole lot of King James for you, and try to understand and break down some of it. So we'll just go through some of the first things here. It says, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men. And then it talked about ascending and descending and, you know, all that talk in there. What's that talking about? What we see here is what Jesus did after he died on the cross. So we know this. Bible doctrine teaches us this. The Word of God teaches us this. And we don't have time to get into all of that tonight. I know that you're taught by someone that knows Bible doctrine. So I don't need to get into some of that stuff while I'm up here tonight, because I want to get to some other things. But what Jesus did after he died on the cross was he went to hell for 3 days. He led captivity captive. That means that he brought up the saints that had died before Jesus came. He brought them up, and then he was on the earth for a little while. And then after he was on the earth, he ascended up into heaven. And so that's the triumphant rise of Jesus, right? The death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. That without that, we couldn't be saved. Without that, we couldn't be going to heaven. So thank God that he did that. But what we see here in these verses, because it says after Jesus did all those things, he gave some of these gifts. We call them the fivefold ministry gifts: the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. These five ministry office gifts. You know, we receive from one of them every week. That's our pastor. Another word for pastor is shepherd. Someone that sits with us, that teaches us, that's with the sheep. That's those of us in the body of Christ that aren't filling a pulpit necessarily. And they sit with us and they help us and they lead us through and they take us to green pastures and all the roles that a shepherd would have with a natural flock of sheep. That's what a pastor does spiritually to the body of Christ, to a group of believers. But what we see here is right when it talks about this office being given, the office of the pastor, these ministry gift offices. I love that it puts it in perspective of everything else. Paul puts this in perspective to the Ephesians church of everything else that happened leading up to that, because he says, when Jesus ascended on high, this was one of the first things he did. So Jesus came to the earth. Thank God that he did. He died on the cross. He rose again from the dead so that we could be saved. Thank God that he did. Then when he was on the earth, he did some things for a little while, ministered to some people, appeared to some people. Then he rose up to heaven. Now we know after he rose to heaven, that was officially, now anyone could be born again. Now anyone could walk in salvation. That was important to God, that he'd be able to bring his family back to him. That's why he sent Jesus. And then if we read through the scriptures, you can see in Acts chapter 2, where the next thing that happens is what? On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit's poured out. That's why Jesus said, it's expedient that I go to my Father so that the Helper can come to you, so that the Comforter can come to you. So Jesus said, I have to go up so that the Holy Spirit can come down. It was important to God to get the Holy Spirit. Why? So that on the earth, we could have that same power that Jesus walked in. We could walk in that same authority that Jesus walked in, the Holy Spirit living inside of each and every one of us. That they didn't have to, we don't have to go to Jerusalem to experience God. That you can experience God in your very bedroom, in your car, in your workplace, that he's always with us. That's the Holy Spirit. Thank God for him. But then the next thing that he did that we see in the verses, so he gave us salvation, he gave us the Holy Ghost. The next thing that he gives us, according to these verses, are the fivefold ministry offices, that office of the pastor. That tells me that it's important to him. Because if it was one of the first things that he did after giving me salvation, after giving me the Holy Spirit, was to give me a pastor, it's important to God. And how many of you know this? If it's important to God, it should be important to us. Yes. It's something that we should value. It's something that we should have honor for. And we'll see some of those things as we look to scriptures. And it's not, it changes the perspective, because I think sometimes we tend to look at it as, I go to church, I have a church, but we don't necessarily think of it as, I have a pastor. I go to church because I have a pastor. If my pastor, if his voice wasn't in my church, we could say it this way, it's just a club. It's just a place to go and hang out. But because God's anointing is here, and because the anointing is speaking through a man, through someone that he's gifted to speak into lives of believers, that means that separates church from any other gathering. Any other get together. The anointing of God is in this place when we come together. That it's an opportunity for us to come and be strengthened, to be helped by it. So what I want to we talk about how important this gift is, but not just knowing that it's important, knowing the function of it is part of being able to receive. And I thought you're going to say, I thought we were talking about praying for my pastor. I am. But I'll say this. If we truly recognize how important that gift is in our life, if we have honor for it, if we revere it, if we thank God for it, if we're aware of it, we won't have to be reminded to pray for them. We won't have to be reminded to be grateful for them. We won't have to be reminded to honor them and all those things that go along with having a pastor in my life that, you know, that I, when I come to church, that I come with the right attitude, that I come with the right heart. That I come just like, I love, and I know I keep going back to it, but it's so good what Reverend Chris said, that it's not just, I'm not just coming to fill a seat. I'm not just coming to check off a box that I went to church that week. That this is my appointment with heaven. This is my appointment with the gift that God has given me. You know, at Christmas time, my kids love Legos. I have two boys and a girl. The boys are so into Legos right now. Is that right? It's right. That's the amen I get from the front row there. They're so into Legos right now. If I were to give him Legos for Christmas, I'm not going to have to tell him to get excited about it. I'm not going to have to tell him to open it up and play with it. I'm not going to have to tell him to, you know, all the different things that goes along with it. Why? Because he's thrilled about that gift. When we get thrilled about the gift of the pastor in our lives, nobody's going to have to tell you, it's not going to be laborious to go to church. It's not going to be laborious to lift them up in prayer. Why? That's just part of having that gift. That's part of, you get as thrilled as a kid does on Christmas when they get that, I get to go to church this week. I get to hear from heaven this week. I get to unwrap that gift that God has given me this week. The reason a lot of Christians struggle is because God's given them this gift and they just let it sit under the tree and collect dust. And they look at it and say, yeah, you know, somebody gave me that. I might open it sometime. I might every now and then take the dust off of it. little bit. But no, there's something about this gift that we get to do, that we get to unwrap, that we get to open and partake of it. And it's such a great and glorious thing. And then when we get our minds renewed to this and we look at our pastors the way that the Bible says to look at them and not the way maybe culture says to look at them or family history says to look at them or any of those things, when we look at them the way God says to, it changes what you receive from it. It changes. Folks that go to a church and say, oh, I don't get fed in that place, I don't get helped in that place. And I understand that there's churches out there that don't necessarily teach the Word of God, you know, the way we're taught, number one. But number two, maybe that, you know, there are those that are pastoring that maybe shouldn't be pastoring and things like that. But in a place where you know that pastor is supposed to be there, that there's, if there's folks that go and say, I don't receive anything there, I'm not helped by anything there, usually there's something on the inside of them that needs to be tweaked. And so, you know, I'm not saying that's anybody in this place tonight, but let it help our faith. Let us be strengthened, because I know there's been times where I've gone to church and I think that thought comes, boy, it sounds crazy to say it, but maybe we've all been there before. Maybe you haven't. You can throw your stones at me after service and say, get him out of here, send him back to New York and bring somebody else in here. But, you know, you've been in those times where you think, man, you know, I don't think that was the right message for me tonight. I don't think that was what I needed to hear tonight. Those thoughts have come to us before. But most of the time, 99 times out of 100, 99.9 times out of 100, it's something I went into it with the wrong mentality of. Can I tell you a story along this line? It'll help you. And I don't want you to think that it's a harsh thing or anything like that, but there's a nugget of truth in here that I believe will be a blessing to you. A few years ago, I was going through a storm in my life. I was going through a trial. It was a hard time. I was facing some things. You know, we've all been through those times of storms before. And we know that the faith walk tells us that we walk through these things and we ought to walk through them with a certain attitude of victory, that we walk through them with a certain note of joy about us. And we know this, you know, I'm not trying to beat anybody on the head that's going through a storm or anything like that, but when you're going through it, sometimes you feel like you really have to put it on, right? Where I don't feel like being joyful right now. I don't feel like being happy right now. Or if I go to church, I don't feel like being in church right now. I don't want to be here right now. I faced it. I was on payroll, and I didn't want to be there right now. And I was getting paid to be there. I mean, my goodness. And I'm sitting there, and I think that I'm doing a great job of, like, concealing this battle that's going on inside of me. I think, man, I'm hanging the moon. I'm Mr. Faith, man. Nobody knows that I'm going through anything. Well, lo and behold, my pastor did. Shocking, right? That God actually was dealing with him about things that I was going through. Thank God for it. And we were in a meeting, and he looked at me and he told me, your face is indicative of what you're going through. And there was a whole lot more that went along with it, but it was correction, but it was correction that I so needed. Now, when he said that, I'll be honest with you, because I was already, remember, down here. I was pretending to be up here, but I was actually down here. When he said that, man, you would have thought, I'm already down, what do they say, lower than a snake's belly in a wagon rut or something like that. I'm from New York. That's not an actual saying we use, but, you know, I've heard that said before. But I was as low could get. And so if you think of me now, I'm down in the wagon rut. Well, here comes the wagon and runs me over, right? I'm thinking, my gosh, my pastor, he's supposed to build me up. He's supposed to get me out of that wagon rut. He's supposed to lift me up from this place. Why would he say that I'm not, my face looks like I'm going through something, that it's hard for him to look at me when he's preaching and things like that, because it's such a, you know, I'm, or, you know, just looking like the weight of the world is on my shoulders. And I'm thinking, my pastor's supposed to lift me up from this place. And at first I thought, man, that, does he know what he said to me? Does he know that's not what I needed right now? But I decided to listen to my heart and listen to my pastor. That word of correction, because I know that my pastor would never purposely hurt me. I know that he knows God and that he would never purposely say something that would really actually hurt me. And so I said, okay, if he said this, there's a reason he said it. And there's my help is in this correction. My help is in this. And so after that, I decided, maybe almost with a little bit of not the greatest attitude about it at first, but I decided I'm just going to be the most joyful person in the church from now on then. You know, and I wish I could say that I was all faith when I did it. A little bit of it was like stick it, you know, like I'm just going to make sure, well, if he wants to see joy, I'm going to be joyful, you know. And so I sat on the front row and I was like, amen, pastor. Amen, pastor. You know, and I put it on thick, brothers and sisters. I mean, I tried to really hammer that thing. But can I tell you something? Man, God's so good. By the end of that service, I received more than I had received in years of being in church. I started off faking it. But faith sometimes is stepping out, not knowing quite what's going to be there, right? I started out, I listened to that correction that that gift had for me, and it changed my life. Within months, I was out of that storm that I had been going through for years. And my answer was right there in that correction. That's the gift in operation. If I had chosen to hear that, if I had taken that and then thought, oh, I'm gonna go find another church with a pastor who's nice to me, with a pastor who gives me a hug when I'm down and out. That's not what I needed. I needed someone to tell me what was wrong in my life so that I could fix it, so that I could make it better. That's what one of the ways that the gift operates for us is that exactly. There's a verse in Corinthians that talks about that we all are changed from glory to glory into the image of Christ. Well, that sounds great to be changed from glory to glory. We use that, you know, especially during conference meetings because we don't want folks to fizzle out by the last one. And so we'll say, tomorrow night we go from glory to glory, so you better come tomorrow because it's going to be better than it was tonight. Well, there's truth in that. But the actual meaning of that scripture, if you take the earlier part of it, it's saying that when you look at the word as though you're looking in a mirror, that now you're changed from glory to glory, that when you look in that mirror, you should see Jesus. Well, I've said it this way before. A lot of times, when I look in a mirror, especially in the morning before I go to church or tonight before I came to church this evening, I didn't look like what I look like right now, right? You see a guy whose beard is trimmed. You see a guy whose hair is done, who's got his tie all nice and snug up on his neck. It didn't look like this when I started to get ready for church. I had to take actions to get to this place. When we come to church and our pastors present us with this mirror of Jesus, instead of getting mad at the mirror, instead of, you know, if I had looked in that mirror before I had to get ready to, I had to trim my beard again. I got to shave again. I got to do my hair again, and gotten all frustrated about it and just walked out of the bathroom upset and angry about it and not done anything, I wouldn't be presentable tonight. I wouldn't look like I'm supposed to look. Brothers and sisters, we're supposed to look like Jesus. And the church is the place where we come to see that mirror so that we can see the things that aren't lining up, that when I look in that mirror, I'm not quite seeing the finished product yet. But instead of getting mad at it, I just look at it and say, okay, what do I need to tweak to look like what I'm supposed to look like? And we make those adjustments. But thank God for that mirror. Thank God for that opportunity to come and let the word help us, let the word strengthen us. So none of that was in my notes, but I want to look at, let's talk about this in Ephesians here. The purpose of the pastoral office. Because again, if we understand this better, it'll make it easy for us. It'll make it easy. In verses 12 and 13, it says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man under the stature of the fullness of Christ. Well, right here in the second verse, in verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith. Right away, that tells us one thing, that we can debunk the mystery that the pastoral office is not something that a Christian needs today. Not the mystery, but the rumor that that's the case. Because I know there's folks that say, well, it's just me and Jesus, and I have the Bible, and that's all that I need in life. This verse right here says, till we all come in the unity of the faith. Right. You can take one tiny little half peek into the body of Christ and see we are not all in the unity of faith. Right. We're not. That we're not all full of the knowledge of the Son of God. And here's the big kicker, unto a perfect man. Right. Brothers and sisters in Family Church Erie, my cousins in the faith down here, you're all beautiful, you're all wonderful. I'm sure you all love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind, just like the Bible says to do. But you're not perfect. Nope. And I got news for you. This will come as a shock to you. You've heard me for 15 minutes tonight, and you think, wow, this guy's really hanging the moon. I'm not perfect either. Whew! Wow! Revelation to us. You can say, Pastor Scott brought a word tonight. We're not perfect. We're not. And as long as we're not, we're going to need this gift. We're going to need this ministry gift in our lives. Well, thank God for it. Thank God that he allowed us this place. And this is part of their job description, is to perfect us. It says that in verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints. What does that mean? It doesn't mean that we have to be perfect, because we can't be. We won't be. As long as we have this flesh, these minds that we have to renew, I mean, it is possible to live the rest of your life without sinning. I ain't met a single person that's done it. You know, everybody at some point in time is going to make a mistake. And that's why we have the blood. That's why we have Jesus. Thank God for it, that he's a redeemer. He's a God of forgiveness and mercy. And thank God for those things. But their job is to perfect us and is to train us. And sometimes perfecting and training isn't always the most comfortable thing. You know, in our church in Fredonia, we did a remodel a few years ago. First, we did one because we wanted to. Then we did one because we had to, because we had a fire in the church. And so we did it once, and we said, you know what, next time we know the things we'll do differently. Well, next time came real quick, and we got to put into practice some of those things that we got to do differently. But even in this place, you know, you look at some of the woodwork in here, you know, the railings on the stage. That railing didn't start out looking like that. Now, I'm no carpenter. I'm no handyman or anything like that. I can make a computer work real good, but you give me a piece of wood and drywall and I'm done. I'm not the guy for the job. But I know that that wood didn't come from a tree looking like that. I know that. I know enough to know that. I may not be handy, but I know that. Even this pulpit, this didn't grow in the woods. Somebody had to create this. But if you're making this beautiful pulpit, if you're making that beautiful railing out of wood, it's going to take something to make that happen. You're going to have to chip it. You're going to have to cut it. You're going to have to sand it. You're going to have to do things to it that, if we could say this, if the wood had a personality, it would say, this is uncomfortable. Right. Sanding is not necessarily a comfortable process for that thing, right? Yeah. If it had feelings, if you could talk to this pulpit, if you could talk to the railing, they're going to tell you that sanding really hurt. But look at the end result of it. Look at the end result. That's what that perfecting of the saints is. That we're being shaped into something beautiful for God to use for his glory. Something beautiful. And some of us came from some pretty raw, nasty pieces of tree. I mean, maybe you were born looking like some beautiful, fancy thing. I know that I was not. I know that God had a mighty work to do when he brought this tree, this redwood, out of the forest, you know? That there was a work to be done in this thing. And sometimes to take that and to sand down those parts of you that aren't necessarily, those parts of us that aren't lined up with what God wants them to look like, that aren't necessarily things that, you know, weights or ways of thinking or things that we've gone through in lives that are going to hinder us from being able to do what he wants us to do in the kingdom of God. Those things have to be chipped off. Those things have to be removed. If you had a railing that wasn't sanded, it would injure everybody that touched it. Because they'd get splinters in their hands, they'd get hurt by it. And there's a whole lot of Christians out there who aren't getting sanded or aren't allowing themselves to be sanded because the sanding is uncomfortable. And what's happening? They're hurting people because of it. They're hurting others. They're hurting family. They're hurting the lost. They're not being the help that they're supposed to be. Instead, somebody, unbeliever, touches them and gets pricked by something and gets a splinter in them and say, I don't want that. And then God gets a bad rep. Jesus doesn't get glorified. So you see, the purpose of our pastors to perfect us, to sand us in this way, it's not just for our glory, it's not just to help us, it's for God and his kingdom. Right. Which is the next part of this verse, for the work of the ministry. Brothers and sisters, we got a job to do. Yeah. My pastor, that's his favorite saying, let's get this job done. Right. There's this mentality in the American church that my job is to go to church, to get blessed, to get helped, and go home. It's all over the place. It's prevalent in the body of Christ, especially in America. But brothers and sisters, that's not what the Bible says the church is for. That's not what the Bible says my pastor is for. It says my pastor is to equip me for the work of the ministry. Now, my work of ministry may actually be a pulpit, you know, might actually be preaching the gospel from a pulpit. But for everyone else, we all have a work of the ministry to do. God told all of us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He didn't just tell the pastors to do that. He didn't just tell the fivefold ministry offices to do that. He told every believer, everyone that has given their life to Jesus, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's the work of the ministry. The purpose of the local church, the purpose of my pastor, is to teach me the things of God so that I can take those things, now that I know how to use them, and help other people with those things that I've learned. I know, you know, we got into a kind of a ditch for a while. Me personally, when I say we, not like, you know, I guess me and my family, however you want to say it, with, you know, instead of preaching the gospel, I'm just going to invite people to church. I'm just going to invite them to church. Well, it's not a bad thing to invite people to church. We should be inviting people to church. We should be inviting people to come and, you know, be experience this great gift that God has given us. But ultimately, that's cheapening the gift that's in each and every one of us. It's not recognizing Jesus in us, because he has anointed us to grow the body of Christ. He has given us this work of the ministry. You know, we're taught the things of faith, right? We're taught how to believe God for things. We're taught that sickness has no bearing on me, that by his stripes I've been healed. You were taught that you're healed from sickness, not so that just you could live free from sickness, but so that you could minister that healing to other people. That by the laying on of hands, I will be healed. I shall be healed. That the Bible says that when I lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. That gift is not only to happen on a Saturday night in a pulpit in Family Church Erie. I may learn it here. I may learn how that gift works here, but that's for me to take that and then minister it to other people. You're going to see people hurting. You're going to see people sick. Don't be afraid that person in the workplace tells you, I've got a migraine today, something fierce, and I don't know what to do with it. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. And you walk away. What are we doing, church? Our job is to minister healing to these people. To say, can I pray for you? And then you take their hand. You don't have to have an altar. You don't have to have an usher. You don't have to have an altar call line that everybody falls down on the ground with. It says, lay hands on the sick. Find a place. Can I pray for you? Father, I thank you for helping this person. Help them feel better. Help them, help their headache be healed. Simple. So easy. We complicate it. And we think that it has to be this big thing, but I learn him here so that I can be him out there. Amen. That's the purpose of the local church. That's why God gave us pastors. And we can't go so far in the ditch of honor. Because honor is a big thing. Honor is a real thing. We have to have honor. You know, there was a long time where there wasn't enough honor for the pulpit. And then there was almost, we could say, you know, if you're on a road and you start to swerve off, I remember when I was learning how to drive, you know, you make a big turn back and my dad would be like, don't overcompensate. And I think, what are you talking about? That's a big word. I'm trying to keep this car on the road here. What are you talking about? But you know, if you start to swerve off a little bit, instead of jerking the wheel back, you just subtle corrections, right? There was a bit where we started to get off, you know, in the body of Christ a little bit too far on that other side on things and think, well, my pastor's the only, I got to bring them to church so they can get saved. I got to bring them to church so they can get healed. I got to bring them to church so they can get filled with the Holy Ghost. Where in the Bible does it say that the church is the only place people get saved, healed, and filled with the Holy Ghost? It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that. The first time people got filled with the Holy Ghost, it wasn't in the church. It was in the streets. Glory to God. And so that's our job, is to go out there. We learn this gift here. We learn the work of the ministry here to take that and be Jesus out there. Amen. That's our job. That's our role. But thank God for that pastoral gift that helps us and anoints us and equips us to be able to do that. Amen. And then the last part, for the edifying of the body of Christ, building up, enlarging, refreshing. That's what edifying means, that I come here not for a rescue, but for a rebuild. Too many times we think, oh, if I can just make it till church, if I can just get through the week, and then we fizzle in and we're crawling through the door and thinking, my God, what a week I've had. You try and we, you know, we crawl through, army crawl to our seats and think, oh, all right, I'm just going to stand for worship. And then by the end of service, boy, we're feeling high on the hog again. We're feeling all faith giants, you know, men and women are going to go and slay all the giants that Goliath has nothing on us. And then we go out and suddenly Monday morning hits. The workplace hits, the week hits, you know, maybe you leave here and the bad waiter at the restaurant hits. I don't know what it is, you know, but you done lost your salvation right when we walked out of here. Folks, that's our chance. That's our opportunity to say, no, I'm going to put into practice what I've learned. I'm going to put into practice the things that I've been taught. When we come to church as believers, as Christians, our job is to come here with something, not just to get something. That I come with a supply of faith, that I come with joy, with expectancy, that my pastor is going to have a message from heaven that'll bless me this week. And then I'm going to put that message into practice during the week. I remember early I purposed to do this. I said, you know, because sometimes when you go to church and you get in and you hear a message, there's a lot of times where you think, my goodness, I'm missing it. And you think, that's a whole lot of boxes that I'm not ticking. That's a whole lot of T's that I'm not crossing, a whole lot of I's that I'm not dotting. You think, how am I ever going to measure up to those things? How am I ever going to get to that point, you know? And I purposed early on. I said, Lord, I'm going to take one thing. one thing from that message. And there was a whole lot more than the one thing that I needed. But you know, when you're early on, you got to use the chainsaw, not the sandpaper, right? You got to. And I thought, Lord, I'm going to take one thing from that message, and I'm going to purpose to perfect that this week. And that one thing, whatever it was, that whether it was a verse that he preached on, a doctrine that he introduced to me that I hadn't heard before, confessing, whatever it might have been, and just focus on that one thing. Because if you're in this for life, eventually you're going to get to all the one things, you know? I'm not saying the other parts of it aren't important, but we know this too, that the Holy Ghost is personal, that church ought to be personal for us, that there's times that we'll come here and hear a message, and that one line, that one verse, that one topic, that one whatever it might be, just jumps out at your spirit. Brothers and sisters, grab hold of it when that happens. When my pastor has a word for me, has something that, you know, I need that I can receive from, I'm going to take that and I'm going to put it into practice in my life. And over time, God was able to use that and transform me and help and edify me and build me up for this purpose that he's created me for. And I'm not anybody special to make that happen. I'm just someone who said, God, I want what you have for me. And I want to recognize that that starts and happens in the local church, that place where I can come and be helped and be equipped and be edified. Our job description. So those are our pastor's job description, right? To perfect for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Our job description is really simple. It's to allow myself to be perfected. That's all I have to do. You know, I can say that, you know, we can get up here and cross off all the rules and you have to serve and you have to do this and do that and do this and do that. But really, just being here and allowing God to be God. Let him do the work that he's created. That don't come and that we wouldn't be a stick in the mud, that we wouldn't let the storms that we're going through hinder us from receiving what God has for us. I understand we go through storms. I've been in those situations before where, my goodness, it's so heavy, the onslaught is so real, that the thought of having to turn that off to be able to receive seems absolutely impossible. But if we'll let God be God, if I'll just say, I'm going to receive whatever God has for me tonight, this week, and let it help me, let it edify me, let it perfect me, let it equip me, we'll leave this place changed. It'll change how we view church. It'll change how we come to church. It'll change how we leave church at the end of it, just to allow ourselves to be perfected. Because like I said before, when we recognize, when we realize how much of a help our pastors are to us, how essential this gift is in our lives, it makes it so easy to pray for them. It makes it so easy to honor that gift, to come and be equipped by it and be helped by it. This keeps coming up in my heart. I want to share this story with you. There was a service that I came to once, and I was going through a time financially at that time. You know, my wife and I have been roller coasters of faith, you know, over the years, and times where the checkbook was in the red, times where it was in the black, and we just thanked God for all of it and kept walking with him no matter what, you know, and live by faith in this plan that he's called us to. And I remember it was a time where he had just told me to leave my job where I was making, you know, I'd finally worked my way up to making a salary where I could actually pay my bills and save money at the same time. When you're called to ministry, that's like, you know, that was a great point to finally reach. I was so excited. You know, we were 6 months there. We're like, everything, all the money's paid and there's money left over. Like, wow, this is amazing. Some of you are thinking that happens. Well, I'm really happy for you. But we got to live by faith for a long time. And, you know, we were in that boat at the time and it was really tight financially. And I thought, my goodness, I need a word from the Lord right now. I need to be built up. You're going through the storm. You want the help. You need the help in that time. And I went to church on a Tuesday thinking, Lord, I know you've got something for me tonight. I need help. You know, I must have been very urgent at the time. I don't know if there was a bill coming due the next day or what, but I know that I was nearing the bottom. You know, I was beneath the bottom of the barrel. The barrel was flipped over and on top of me. And pastor gets up and he says, tonight we're going to talk about healing. And I wish I could tell you my attitude was perfect in that moment, but it was not. And I thought, well, he missed it. Doesn't he know what I needed? And I let up, God, you know what I needed. I needed this. Well, when I was a kid, I was a bowler. We had those bumpers on the side. You know, I may bump into the bumpers every now and then, but eventually I'm going to get to the pins at the end. You know, I'll tell you these stories, and a lot of times you'll hear these, you know, I bumped into the bumper. Well, I did that night too. But eventually I got it. You know, I thought, Lord, how's he going to preach this? This is what I need. I need a financial message, and you're giving me a healing message right now. Don't you know what I need, God? Come on. Well, that attitude sank for about two minutes or so, maybe less than that. And I said, all right, Lord, I'm sorry. I know I'm here to receive from you. I repent. Please forgive me. I'm going to receive what you have for me tonight. And can I tell you, that message blessed me financially more than any other message that I've ever heard. He was talking about healing. But what happened? The Holy Ghost, through my pastor, through that gift that I was willing to open and receive and say, God, you still have something for me in this, even if it wasn't what I thought I needed. But I was willing to say, God, I know that you're in this. I know that you're here. I know that this is my pastor and he hears from heaven. I want to receive that. Now the Holy Ghost could deal with me on those things. The Holy Ghost in us will bring out messages from our pastors. I can talk to people after a service. Five different people got five completely different things out of a sermon. Yeah, I'm sure, Hermans, you can agree the same thing. You've talked to people after you preach the same thing, that everybody gets something different out of it because the Holy Ghost is so personal. He's so real. And in each and every one of us, he's illuminating and saying, see what he said right there? That's for you to apply here. See what he said over here? That's for you to apply here. And that's why the gift of the pastor is so crucial. It's so important because every one of us will come together and get fed. But every one of us, we may be getting fed something different, but it's what we're nourished by. It's what we need that night. Thank God for that gift. So talking about praying, that's the whole purpose of this message, right? But like I said earlier, I know we're not going to talk a whole lot about this side of it, but if we recognize that office, if we esteem it, if we honor it, if we value it, praying will be easy. That's the easy part. So, you know, talk about why do we pray for our pastors. First reason is because the Holy Ghost tells us to. Scriptures tell us to. 1 Corinthians, just for the sake of time, wow, does time go faster in Erie? My goodness. Glory. Although this is a Stallman church, isn't it? So I have a few more minutes than at our normal. All right, 1 Thessalonians 5:25. You don't have to turn there. We'll just have it up on the screens. I say that with the utmost honor in my heart for your pastors. I just know I've heard of the reputation, right? I know you got a teacher for a pastor, so things tend to go a little bit extended there. 1 Thessalonians 5:25. And I'll just read this. It's a super long, complicated verse. It's going to be hard to really explain it to you. I might need a few different translations to do this. It says this, brethren, pray for us. Wow. Yay, the deep things of the Word of God. I don't know what the other translations say, but I imagine it's all pretty similar to that. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the church of Thessalonica saying, brethren, pray for us. But he wasn't just him writing it. He was anointed by the Holy Spirit to write it. You know something I love about this verse, my Christian brothers and sisters? Paul didn't say, brethren, would you please pray for us? Would you remember us when you pray? He was a little bit more firm than that. He said, brethren, pray for us. There's no question mark. There's no conversation happening. This is a directive from the Holy Spirit to the church to pray for spiritual leadership. You know, we revere those Ten Commandments, don't we? Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt, you know, all those. You go down the list. I'm going to be cast out of First Communion class because I can't remember all 10 of them in order right now. You go down the list. Those Ten Commandments are highly important, highly valuable. And we say, you know, those are commandments from the Lord. Or how about this, the love commandment, right? That you shall love. That's the new commandment that Jesus gave to us. The highest law that we walk in as believers is that law of love. Those are commandments that we have to follow. This here is just as valuable as those. Because it's a commandment from the Holy Ghost to the church. Brethren, pray for us. It's so simple. It's so easy. When we take that and we say, Lord, you told me to do it, I'm going to do it. Well, let's just run with it then. But I know for some of us, we need more than that. We need more than just to be told by the Holy Ghost to do it. And so for those of you that maybe your brains work that way and you say, you know what, I see that, but why? Tell me why. Why do I need to do what you're telling me to do? Okay, I'll tell you why. Because it says here in James chapter 5 and verse 16, you ever heard this one before? In the Amplified, the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. When you pray for your pastor, you are equipping them with power to do the work that God has called them to do. When we pray for our pastors, Paul told us to do it. The Holy Ghost told us to do it. So that's a reason in and of itself. But if we want to know the why, it's because they need power to accomplish the work that God has called them to do. And we can help generate that power to come to pass. That's what an honor that we get to take that place. I was in a service one time. The Lord had dealt with me to go to this service. And it was a midweek in another church. You know, nothing wrong with that church, just wasn't mine. I wouldn't normally go there, but the Lord dealt with me very clearly in my spirit. I want you in the service tonight. So I texted the pastor and said, hey, is it okay if I come? And he said, yeah, of course. So I went to that service that night. And while I was there, he started calling out folks by word of knowledge, which is an operation of the Spirit of God in the Scriptures, that needed healing in certain areas of their life. And he'd call them up and minister to them by the laying on of hands, like the Scriptures tell us to do. And as he did that, I had an unction to pray. And what's an unction to pray? It's just, you know, there's times where we pray because we want to. There's times where we pray because it's the right thing to do. But then there's other times where on your spirit, on the inside, you know you have to pray. Yes. There's something that has to be prayed right now. And I while I was in that service and he's laying hands on people, I had that sense inside of me that I had to pray. So I didn't make a big scene about it. I didn't draw attention to myself and say, oh, glory to God, and start, you know, this big revival service. No, I just quietly sat down, grabbed my stomach like this, and I just started praying. And I was praying about the things of God, praying in the Holy Ghost as he directed me. And in that moment, I had a vision on the inside of me. You know, my eyes were closed, but I saw this thing inside of me. And I saw what were like jumper cables from my spirit to the hands of the pastor as he was laying hands on people. And I thought, well, that makes sense because this verse says that prayer makes power available. And so as I'm praying, I'm generating that power for him to minister to those people. But in that moment, I also had a sense that the Spirit of God was grieved about it. And I thought, well, am I praying wrong? You know, Lord, because I talk to God. We talk to God, right? We should talk to God. That's what prayer is. It's a conversation with our Father. And it's not something that has to be high and mighty. It's not something that has to be all glorious and pretty and beautiful. Talk to him. He's your Father. The Bible says Jesus is a friend that's closer than a brother. How do you talk to your friends? Maybe talk to Jesus a little bit better than how you talk to your friends, but... You know, we should have that closeness with him, that relationship. I said, Lord, why are you grieved? Am I doing this wrong? Am I praying wrong right now? You know, because I was joking, but also serious. If I need correction, help me see what it is so I can tweak it. And I got the sense, I didn't hear any audible voice or anything like that, but I got the sense that he was grieved because I just had this knowing that the reason I had to pray that way, the reason that this burden came to pray and the reason that I saw the thing that I saw was because that church wasn't praying. And so instead of there already being power there for those gifts to operate, you had to use the jumper cables to happen, to make it happen. When you need to use your jumper cables on your vehicle, something's wrong. We don't use our jumper cables every time we start the vehicle, right? That's only if the battery's dead or the alternator's dead or something's out of place, something's not how it's supposed to be. I was being called on by God to pray in that moment, and it wasn't no glory to me. It was whoever said yes. You know, he might have gone down three other people and I was the one that said yes. And he had more after me that he knew could get to that service that night. So that's how God operates, to get people where he's moving and where he wants to move. But I knew in that moment that he was grieved about it because that church wasn't praying the way they were supposed to be. They weren't praying for their pastor. They weren't praying for the gifts of God to operate in that place. And God was trying to move. And if someone hadn't been there to pray that night, someone would have left without their miracle. Folks, our job as the church in praying for our pastors and making this power available, it's not just for them to feel good. It's not just for them to have a good day. It's for the miracles of God to come to pass, the plan of God to come to pass, that when folks come in this service that need healing in their body, that they leave with that healing because there's power operating there. That when I come to church and I need a message from the Lord, that I've prayed for my pastor and he's able to minister with boldness and power behind the things that he's saying so that my life can be changed and helped by it. And it's not something that should be waiting until the need is there before you decide that the power needs to be there. When we're taking our place in prayer, that power will be there as a constant supply. And since then, you know, our pastors, it's God's put it on their heart. I'm sure this church has a prayer group, and I know the Jamestown Church has a prayer group. Our church has a prayer group. Pastor Michael, we have the prayer seminar coming up, and he always encourages the pastors, make sure you have a prayer group in your church that's constantly, constantly praying for the ministry, constantly praying for you. And even if we're not in those specific prayer groups, we still have a responsibility to be praying. We still have a responsibility to be praying to make that power available for our pastors. The next reason here is that prayer opens up another door of blessing for me. Remember, Jesus said this, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites that love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets that they may be seen by people. They tell you they have their reward already. What's the reward? That people know that they're prayer people. That's a reward. That's all they get. Oh, cool, you're a prayer person. Well, that's not very much of a reward. Big deal. Who cares if people know? I want what he wants. I want his rewards. And Jesus said that when you pray, go into your private room, close the door, pray to your Father who's in secret, and your Father that sees in secret will reward you openly. The rewards of heaven. Prayer opens up another avenue for rewards of heaven in our lives, another avenue for blessing into our lives. And I'm fully convinced that when we get to heaven, we're going to find these prayer warriors up there that are going to have the biggest mansions. They're going to have the greatest adornments on them. They're going to have all these amazing things about them. And we're going to think, you know, oh, where's the generals of faith with their great rewards? No, no, no. It's going to be the ones that were in their prayer closets. It's going to be the Grandma Susies and the Uncle Joes that were down there on their knees praying for the kingdom of God, praying for their pastors, praying for the plan of God to come to pass, that as God directed them, that they were there and available and willing to generate that power for his plan to come to pass in the world. What an honor that this is a place that we can all take. You don't have to be called to this place. We don't have to, you know, we can put ourselves here. This is one office in the body of Christ that we can say, God, I'm going to pray. I'm going to be a person of prayer. I'm going to take my place as a prayer person and change the world this way. Might not have the pulpit and the glory for it, but we'll have his rewards for it. And isn't that greater? The last thing here that I want to look at, why do we pray? Because we become watchmen. We become guards. The Bible talks about watchmen in prayer, that those that would stand on the towers and on the walls of the cities and watch and warn the city if danger was coming. The devil is out after our leadership. We know that. Jesus said, if you smite the shepherd, the sheep are scattered. If the devil can take one person out that's a leader of 100, he's now taken out that 100. So it's no secret, it's no surprise that our pastors are under greater attack than any of us face. How much more do we need to take our place and stand on the walls of the city? The king wasn't on the walls. The watchmen were on the walls, protecting the king, protecting the kingdom. We get to take that place to help protect our church family, to help protect our pastors from the onslaught of the enemy. You know, we get to be, you ever watch Star Trek or Star Wars? You got the shields on the ships, right? You get to be that to help keep that from hitting the ship, to help keep the wiles of the devil from coming after these things. Because in doing that, we help the body of Christ. We help people. We help God's plans come to pass when we take our place in that way. Now, I had in here, how do we pray? Because there's ways to pray effectively. I don't really have time to get down to all of it. I'm just going to give you three quick steps, and then we'll close with this, and we'll actually close. When I say I'm closing, I'm actually going to close. That's a faith statement, by the way. We're going to do it. I was talking with Pastor Katie today, because I got back from a prayer summit, a minister's conference this week, and she asked, what was one of the things that you brought home from that? And I said, a greater need to pray for my pastors. You know, I came home with a greater revelation of that need that they have for me to take place in prayer for them. And she said, she sent me this long text, and it had all these amazing little nuggets of prayer in it. And I was like, my goodness, I could meditate on this thing for hours. Like, this statement and this statement, and, you know, she's just talking. And I'm like, wow, feed me. This is incredible. One of the things she says was that it takes faith to believe that a mention gets it done. Because so many times we think that when I'm talking about praying for my pastor, that I think that means that I'm going to have to carve out hours in my schedule to be down on my knees to make sure that I'm bringing. No, Paul said a lot of times, I make mention of you in my prayers. That when we're sensitive to the Holy Ghost, that when we listen to him and just quick, Lord, I lift up my pastor to you. I thank you that he has knowledge and wisdom from heaven on your plan for his life. And we just simply make mention of it, but make mention in faith directed by the Holy Spirit. You can change the world. Change the world. It doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to be drawn out. God will deal with certain people to spend more time in prayer in that way, and so be it when those times come. But most of us don't always have that time. But we do have a quick moment in the bathroom. You do have, everybody goes to the bathroom, right? You're looking at me like I'm sacrilegious. You can pray while you're doing that. God created your body. He knows what's going on there. You might as well kill two birds with one stone. I mean, get something else done while you're there. Lester Sumrall used to write books while he was on the toilet. Books that change our lives. Thank God for it. So there you go. You can pray for your pastors in the bathroom. That's the gift that I bring to you tonight. Driving to work. Is that more holy and sanctified for people, right? You can pray while you're in the car. Lord, I lift up my pastor. I thank God for them. I thank you for the gift that they are to me. When we thank him for them, we're putting honor on that. We're showing him, when you say thank you for something, you're showing him you're grateful for it. that allows that thing. When my kids tell me how grateful they are for the Legos that we get them, makes me want to get them more Legos. You know that as parents, right? That when the kids, when you give them something, they're like, eh. Okay, well, I'm not getting that again. I'm not going to, okay, you wanted that thing, great, but you're not grateful for it. But when I show God, God, I'm so grateful for this. I'm so thankful for this. I'm thankful for my local church. I'm thankful for my pastor. And I tell them I'm thankful for it. And then I pray for them and use that gift and allow it to operate in my life. It's going to operate more. It's a circle. It builds on itself. God said, they that honor me, I will honor. As we honor him and his things, his honor, his rewards, his blessings flow more and greater in our lives. Amen. So the step, I was going to say steps here. First step is to thank God for them. The next is to find scriptures about how to pray for them. And I've got a whole list of them here, but you know them in Ephesians. And pray for them that utterance would be given to them, that they'd be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. And, you know, you find the scriptures about praying for your pastors. And pray those, because we know this, when we pray the scriptures, when we pray the word of God, we know that God hears us. That's what 1 John 5:14 says, that when I pray out the will of God, I know that he hears us, and I have confidence that he hears me when I pray his scriptures. And then the last thing is to pray in the Holy Ghost. Romans 8 says that the Holy Ghost is my helper. And when I don't know what to pray for anymore, your pastors may be going through things that, I know my pastors go through things that I don't know. Because how do I know that? Because I'll find out later when they've gotten to the other side of it. And they say, oh yeah, I was facing this, this, and this back. What? I mean, like, a bill took me out and you're like carrying all this and just running with it like it's no big deal, you know? Thank God for the example of faith that they are to all of us. But we don't know the stuff that they're going through. But you know who does? The Holy Ghost in you. So when you pray in tongues, lift them up that way. God can direct your prayers the most effective way. Spend 5 minutes in tongues and you can change the world. Change the world. So that's the message that I bring tonight. Let's honor that gift. Let's receive that gift. And let's pray for that gift. Amen. Take our place making power available. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you that it helps us, strengthens us, equips us, Father, for the work that you've called us to. Father, we give you honor in this place tonight as this local church that you've appointed this group of believers for, Father, that this is your plan. This is your purpose for the body of Christ to have a chance to come together, to be strengthened, to be equipped by your word in this place, Father. Lord, tonight with this church family, I want to do real quick what we've talked about tonight, Father. So, everyone here, just join your faith with me as I pray this way. But Lord, we cease not to give thanks for Pastor Tim and Pastor Katie, making mention of them in our prayers, that you'd give to them the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, that the eyes of their understanding being enlightened, you'd show them what is the hope of your calling and the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of your power towards them. We thank you, Lord, that they're delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. We thank you that they have boldness when they minister, Father. We thank you that the word of the Lord has free course and is glorified in their ministry, Father. We thank you that they have strength of spirit, strength of character to walk out your will for their life, Father God, to have revelation of your love for them, your plan for them, and the fullness of it. And that as they walk it out, Lord, that we'll walk out what you have for each and every one of us. With heads bowed, with eyes closed in this place tonight. You know, we talked about this office of the pastor, but as I said early on, it was one of the most important things Jesus did for us, but not the most important thing. The most important thing was our salvation, that God saw us and we were separated from him by sin, and he said, I want them back as my children. And he sent Jesus for us, his son, his very own son, to die on the cross, to go to hell in our place, to rise from the dead so that we could be saved. And all it takes is belief in what Jesus did and confessing that with our mouth to bring salvation into our lives. So if you're here tonight and you've never made that decision for God, you've never said, I want Jesus in my life, I want to be born again, I want that guaranteed ticket to heaven for all eternity, because that's how we get there, is by believing in him. If that's you, you want to be saved tonight, go ahead and raise your hand in this place tonight. I don't know everyone, so I want to give that opportunity, of course, but if you're online, you're live streaming tonight, just stay tuned. I don't need to see your hand because God will see it. So raise it and then stay tuned and I'll show you what to do next in a second here. If there's anyone here tonight and you've walked away from the Lord, want to give you a chance to come back home to him. Jesus told us the story of the prodigal son who was in his father's house, thought he could do better on his own. And so he left and realized real quick that he couldn't. He needed to come back home. And he thought his father would be there ready to cast him aside, ready to judge him and be angry with him. But instead his father welcomed him back with open arms. And God has that same heart towards believers today, those that have stepped away from Him. If you're here in this place tonight and you need to come home to Jesus, you want to run back to Him, maybe you've stepped away and you want to rededicate your life to Him, go ahead and raise your hand in this place tonight. I see that hand there. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Anyone else for either invitation, either salvation or rededicating your life to God tonight? I don't want to rush anyone into it, but also, you know, I know it's a Saturday night. You probably love the Lord already. If you're online with us or if you raised your hand tonight, the Bible says that if I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that Jesus is Lord, I shall be saved. That's all it takes, is believing in my heart and confessing with my mouth. So what we're going to do together tonight is all of us are going to pray together. And even if you already have prayed this before, guess what? You still believe it, so you're still going to confess it. If you're online, pray this with us. Like I said, it's not me seeing your hand or hearing your voice, it's God. And so wherever you're at, pray this and pray it in faith. And everyone, just repeat this after me. Father God, I thank you for Jesus. Thank you for sending him to die on the cross so that I could be saved. This night, I confess Jesus Christ as the Lord of my life. And my life will never be the same from this night forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm so thrilled again and honored to be with you all here at Family Church Erie. Thankful to your pastors for this opportunity. Let's take our place, church, in prayer. Amen. Let's come here equipped, come here charged up, ready to not just receive, but bring a supply and also lift our pastors up in prayer. And watch what God does with that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Is there anything else I'm supposed to do? Okay. You're dismissed. Have a great night.